Parshas Bamidbar is opens up Sefer Bamidbar, and you know, the whole book is called the Book of the Desert, you know, and its alternate name in Torah Shebaal Peh, which also is the name that carried over to English, is Chumash HaPikurim, the Book of Numbers, because the Jewish people are counted at the onset of Sefer Bamidbar, both in this week's Parsha and next week's Parsha. So we have to understand, you know, why desert and numbers, you know, why these are like central themes to what Sefer Bamidbar is all about. The truth is, one cannot help but realize that there's a parallel running between that and the Omer period that's hitting its crescendo, it's hitting its climax. That the Omer period is about counting, it's about numbers, and it's about counting up to the Torah that was given in the desert. And indeed, it's, you know, the very day, the next day, after we read Chumash Bamidbar in Shul, is Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which is the day that the Jewish people arrived in Midbar Sinai, and 6 days later they got the Torah at Har Sinai. So there's definitely this idea that numbers and the desert, they go with each other. And there's a real parallel between the parshas that we're reading now and the season that we're in. To understand this relationship and how Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, speaks about concepts that relate to Omer, Midbar Sinai, and the receiving of the Torah. One has to wonder that it's really a sort of an oxymoron that the Jewish people should be counted in the desert. Another thing that's spoken about in these parshas is the order that they traveled in. There's like an orderly pattern of how they were encamped. Right? You know, the desert was not meant to be their permanent residence. They were there temporarily. They're always meant to just be there temporarily. They're going to get the Torah, and they're going to move on to Eretz Yisrael. You know, they're in transit. The people are in transit, right? So it doesn't make sense, you would think, that this should be the place to conduct the census, because anyway, the people are in transit. You know, it wouldn't properly reflect, you know, population growth or anything like that, because they're living in a very temporary type of situation. The proper time to conduct the census is, you know, every few years when people are in their permanent mode of life, and you see how it's working out and how the population is shifting, not when they're in a situation that's by definition temporary. The same thing with, you know, the tremendous hakpada, or the tremendous exactingness of how they're supposed to travel with, by which, you know, which tribes, with which flags. Right, that's also something which, you know, you wonder what, you know, how it's like, you know, I mean, them here and them here and them here, when really you're nowheresville, you're in the desert, you're nowhere. The main thing is just to get out of there, and there's like a deal of how everyone should be parked and stationed, even though you're not in a stationary situation, you're in a transitory situation, you're in transit. Right, to understand what's being alluded to over here, right, which is concepts that are reaching a climax right now in the Omer period, and as we are historically reaching the anniversary of those dates that historically we reached, you know, Midbar Sinai. Right? The concept of a desert is no space, right, because it's not civilization. People are not meant to actually live there. It's nowhere. And nowhere is a sin of saying that, no space, right? Because it's not a particular place, the desert, because it's not a particular place is that there's a certain type of settlement there, a certain type of civilization there. And the desert is by definition where there isn't. There's a place where there's no order, not any type of order whatsoever, desolate. So it's a concept of like being nowhere. So nowhere, you know, is the concept of also, you know, if applied to the human being, of humility, right? That the person who is humble He doesn't view himself as a finished product. You know, the concept of being nowhere could also be viewed as being with God himself, which was indeed the state that they had with the desert, that they had perpetual miracles in their midst. They were perpetually surrounded by the clouds of glory. They were, you know, perpetually receiving sustenance in a supernatural way, because a person cannot naturally survive in the desert. So they were with God, because the illusion of being separate from God is, you know, man having his own space, right? I'm in my own world, right? But a desert is no world, it's nowhere. So in the desert, a person cannot possibly escape being with God, because there's like no ultimate reality to get absorbed in, because you're nowhere. So since you're nowhere, so, you know, by default, you either die or you're with God. And since Jewish people were not going to die, they're going to be sustained by God, so they're being sustained by God in a way that they perpetually remain connected to Him. Because that's what desert represents, and that's why, it's one of the reasons that the Torah had to be given in a desert, because Torah's connection with God. So the Maharal says this, that, you know, the desert parallels, you know, it's a certain philosophical parallel to what the Torah wants to accomplish. The Torah is supposed to bond man to God. That's what the Torah does. In a desert, a person cannot help feeling bonded to God. You know, just even to say it on just a very simplistic level, in the desert, you can't afford to be without God, because you'll die there. You have to be with God in the desert. Right? The desert is not a place that it could allow a person, you know, to forget about God and be absorbed in his own world, because there is no world there. And that's why the Torah, which is supposed to make man forever conscious of God, forever bonded to God, has to be given in the desert. That's what desert represents. But there's, you know, but this being tremendously humble and tremendously always aware of God and always bonded to God, one could think could come at the expense of individuality. And individuality is necessary for the Torah, because the Torah was given for us to accomplish with. We do the mitzvahs and we make tikkun. We fix ourselves and we fix the world. There was supposed to be a sense of self. Also with the Torah, the Torah is not complete in its giving a man a tremendous sense of God consciousness that causes man to forget about himself. Because the Torah is what man is meant to work with also. It's a mission that's incumbent upon us, and there has to be a sense of self. There's me and my mission. So that's why also there's a concept that, you know, this duality, even though in the desert, but still, every man has his number. We're being counted. You have a number. And we explained in our Sphera series, right, that in Halacha, when something gets its own number, it becomes something important, that if you get mixed even in 1,000, it's not batel. Dabar shebaminyan ain't no batel. Something that's important enough that you sell it by number, that you raise the price per unit. All right, it's important enough that it's, you know, each one is counted. So something that's important enough to get its own number is something that's not bottle. So the fact that every Jew got his number, right? That, you know, every Jew has gotten, you know, his particular mission that's very special, that can never be annulled. You know, you're unique, it is your mission, and even 1,000 people can't obscure you. Like Dabar Shemini, not feel be'elef, ain't no bottle. Right, but that's necessary for Torah. A person has to feel this is my mission that the Torah gave me, and this is my unique contribution that I can make if I work with the Torah, that no one else working with the Torah can do. Right, every man gets his number. And that's also that they had everyone, even though you're in a plain desert where the concept of boundaries is irrelevant, they had their boundaries, that these tribes here and these tribes here, everyone within their boundary, everyone has his unique portion, you know, where this is my portion, this is my chelek. This is me, this is my mission, this is my chelek, and that's necessary for the Torah also. But you need the sense of individuality and the sense of, you know, I have my portion of reality that I have to fix, and I have me that I have to fix, and I have my accomplishment that I have to make. That all has to come together with a concept of annulment to God, because, you know, why am I important? The duality is, I am important because God gave me a mission. So as there's no contradiction between my being bonded to God and my individuality, because my tremendous importance as an individual comes from God. And that's also the counting that God counted us. You know, Hashem is asking Moshe to count it as his agent. It shows that God is thinking about us. God cares about us. God is counting us because we are dear to him. So the sense of having a number and having a gvul, right, having my unique, you know, turf, that comes from God also. Right, that's the special duality that there is in Parshat Midbar, right? The book of the desert and yet the book of numbers, right? You know, the concept of annulment, the concept of being nowhere, and therefore God is everything, and I just have to submit to him, and yet there's me and my can-do and my unique chelek of reality, and the two go together, and there is no contradiction between the two, because our annulment to God, our being in the desert, gives us the number and gives us our unique chelek. And this is the tremendous breakthrough that we're coming to right now in the days of the Omer, as we're beginning to work on the final week up to Matan Torah, which is coincides with starting the book of Bamidbar, because that final week also coincides with when the Jewish people reached Midbar Sinai. They came on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, right? Going together, annulment to God, but the annulment to God is the basis for tremendous sense of individuality and tremendous sense of individual accomplishment and individual meaning, and that is in no way contradictory to annulment to God. It's an unbelievable, beautiful synthesis that only exists within Torah. There's nothing like it in the secular world, because in the secular world, it's one at the expense of the other. Individuality is at the expense of being annulled to the cloud. It's uniqueness of Torah. Annulment to God, and tremendous sense, my own number, my own chelek.